This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Five-hour energy. Go. When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Curry gets Doncic again. Screen by Draymond. Curry gets Lively again.
He wants a three.
Yes, he does. Backs up, shoots a deep three over Lively. It's good! It's good!
And he got the three that he was looking for. Good morning, Metroplex. This is the Hump Day edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy, Bobby Roberto Bell, Cowboys Insider. We got Peyton, Caitlin thanked me as I was walking in for the ick. I said, excuse me, what'd you say? The ick. Thanks for that. Appreciate it. Apparently, Bobby, to me, to Spittle, to Caitlin. I said, you're in the other room behind the glass. How'd I get you sick? Take a day off. But she said, no, I got to go ahead and power through it. So something is traveling around. Something is traveling around as the holiday season comes upon us.
Yes, it does. I mean, it happens. The time change gets Bobby all in a good mood. And the weather change gets you sick.
Yeah.
And the seasonal change in the spring when I start mowing the lawn, that's when I get it.
Move it.
So I get the move it. So thankfully, right now, knock on Corian as we are here, I have stayed away, but everybody else gets sick, and this is the time.
Is that the Mavs' excuse for late in games? Are they just are they? Do they have the ick? Is it people getting sick for them?
No, they got Someone's the kid. Actually, they got the Doncic, which we're gonna have to get to at 7 o'clock. What is wrong with Luka?
Fourth quarter, Luka.
He hasn't played a full game this year. Like he either can't shoot for the first three quarters, and all of a sudden it's turned on in the fourth, or he'll play well. Like, he played really well for them first three quarters of the game. He was the offense. He was awesome.
Yeah.
And then he just had, it was like he was gassed and just like nothing left.
Of course, the big story last night, Klay's return to California. It was an awesome moment heading in. They got all the staff in the building to put on the captain's hat since Klay has this love of boating. So that was really cool to see him go in, the emotional tribute beforehand. And he hit six threes, scored 22 points. I thought the Mavs were going to get run early on, but the Warriors improved to 9-2. Mavs fall to 5-6 with a clutch Steph 3 to put the Mavs night-night.
Yeah, that was a very disappointing fourth quarter for the Mavericks, especially for Luka. And I got, he was 4 of 15 in the fourth quarter of the last three games. 4 of 15 in the fourth quarter shooting. Look, I mean, it's San Francisco fans, so I don't expect anything different, but I love the video tribute they did for Klay. Everybody, Warrior fans are awesome, but everybody who put that hat on last night and wore it all game, y'all, the people in that building who wore that hat, if you are one of those Warrior fans and you wore that hat the entire game for an opposing player, you are the reason for the chair in the corner of the hotel room.
Oh.
That's what you are.
Simpish behavior?
That's what you are. If you wore a hat of an opposing player for an entire game, you want to take the hat, bring it home, fine. During that game, not until he retires. When he's trying to beat
you. I heard some boos for him when he first, a little smattering when he went to the free throw line to get the first 2 points of the game.
Mm. Yeah, what do you want him to do? You want him to wear the hat chop, or you want him to do the St. Louis Cardinals bit and take it off and tip it?
You can tip the hat. Tip the hat. Just take the hat. Bring it in. tip it, and then sit on it for the rest of the game. You can't wear the hat of another player.
It's Clay. And it's this useless NBA cup, which still is the dumbest thing in existence. It's so stupid.
10 games in.
Adam Silver continues to be the worst commissioner in professional sports. It's a dumb idea. The court change looks stupid. I think all of it's just idiotic.
Well, look, there's a lot of Mavs freak out right now. I'm going to go opposite with it. You lost the last three games against Phoenix, Denver, and Golden State by 6 points.
You're
playing with these teams. You're really, really close. You still have a lot of new pieces. Jason Kidd has brought out the flamethrower to some of their new role players, which we'll get to in a little bit. But I'm not freaking out. And Luka's not playing great whatsoever. Right. So I'm not freaking out. You've been right there. You're barely losing to three really good teams.
And that's the thing. They're three really good teams. And a lot of these games, I mean, all of them could have gone anyway. You've got to, at the end of the day, the Mavs are going to, they know they're going to make the postseason. You know, the fact that they're middling around 511 games in doesn't matter. They know they're going to make the playoffs. You've just got to beat the bad teams. When you beat the bad teams, you're going to wind up having a good enough record, and then you hope that you figure it out. Like they did last year. You know, they figured it out late in the season.
They're just blowing it, though. What I don't like is it's a little bit of, you mentioned it's these good teams and they're playing close games, but it's like these finishes against good teams, they're failing in those tight margins when it gets late. The Denver game the other night, they're up, and Clay or Kyrie and Luka both take really bad shots. Denver goes down and finishes it up. Last night, you can't get anything out of Luka.
Were they up 7 with like 4 minutes left?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I know the exact moment they lost this game, when the universe stepped in and said, nope, this is not happening. Golden State's winning this game. And it's when Daniel Gafford got an and one and made whatever the hell noise this was.
The other way. The spin by Curry. The drive by Irving. And the finish inside Gafford.
Dang.
What the hell was that?
And they sounded like Herb Street's dog.
Maybe a week ago.
Yeller from G-Bag.
But no, that was whatever that was. They get outscored 15
don't
to 5.
Don't replay that. Don't. Shimone.
They get outscored 15 to 5 after Daniel Gafford finishes whatever he did there.
He finished.
Yeah, he did.
Man. That's what you were sitting at home, you heard that.
I heard that. I was like, I'm sending that to Peyton.
Klay Thompson on his return. The tribute video, and all the emotion.
It was a really cool experience. I appreciate the fans very much. The captain's hat ended up being a great touch. So I'm such a passionate boater, and I saw a lot of familiar faces in the crowd. And, that was a warm-hearted feeling. So it was really cool to see the fans, their gratitude towards myself, and something I will never take for granted. So it was very, very awesome.
Steph, of course, steals the show, scoring the final 12 points. He had a personal like 10-0 run. I love him. I know RJ's got his mouth guard issue, but
still great.
I'm thinking about, you know, Brady leaving, LeBron leaving, and I was sitting there watching that last night, and I was like, I may miss Steph the most because There's no unlikability to him. He's so damn fun. He's still a physical marvel with what he was able to do. I was even going back to the Davidson days in my own mind, and I'm like, keep playing, man. Please stay healthy, and please keep playing, because he's out here on a team that many of us had written off, and they are 9-2, and he is still the freaking man. I think he still will end up being like all-time underrated when it's all said and done. Like, I was trying to match up him and Luka. I was like, who's going to end up all-time better in my mind moving forward? And I feel like Steph is going to get slighted like way on down the road.
He's awesome.
He'll be on the top of the cool rankings, top of the revolutionary rankings. I just wonder, like, just in terms of, like, the all-time great players, where he's going to end up.
He's awesome, and I love him. I did for a second, and it happens. I did for a second go, oh, I hate this guy. As soon as he did the night-night and then the just stank face yelling at the crowd and like, yeah, this is our house. Like, there was a little bit of that moment where I was like, okay, you can retire.
This is our house.
I don't give a damn.
We're all wearing somebody else's hat.
I will say, he played 35 minutes last night. This was a three-point game. In 35 minutes, Steph Curry was plus 24.
Oh.
It was a plus 24 when Curry was on the floor. Wow. So that means in that 13 minutes, that's the entire gap that the Mavericks were able to close.
What was it like for Klay to go up against his former Splash Bro?
Well, it was fun to match up with Steph. I mean, we guarded each other plenty of times in practice with Team USA camps and All-Star games. So a real competitive NBA game. It was pretty surreal, but after a few minutes, it was just basketball. And then, yeah, it hurts to be on the other side of one of his flurries. Guy got hot at the end and made some ridiculous shots. I know I've been on the other end, and it sucks. But like I said before, I think we play them three more times, so hopefully we can learn from it and learn their tendencies a little better. But it sucks because this was a big game for the Cup, so something we just got to digest.
No!
Yeah, pool play. No! You know, we're 0-1 in pool play. I don't know how we're going to survive this one.
No, Klay. Everything was fine. Everything was awesome till you went there.
Leave him back in California. Just fly back without him.
Another return last night that I was really paying attention to. I wanted to see how the Sixers crowd was going to welcome Embiid. This was Joel Embiid's first game of his disastrous.
Man.
They're like the Cowboys of the NBA with what a disaster and mess that has been.
Maybe the NBA Cup does mean something then. I mean, he pinpointed, targeted this for his return.
I was like, I would have bet money he would have returned on the road. I would have bet money stay away from the Philly crowd. It was not too harsh there in the beginning. They end up losing to the Knicks, but I could not take that court. That was the court that my eyes were hurting over. All blue. Like, is it Boise State who has it?
Yeah. The blue field. They're all, I think all the courts that they've run out here this stretch are either...
Golden State's wasn't bad.
Golden State's wasn't bad. It's super muted. Either yeah. It's like, okay, what's even the point? Or it's just tacky as hell. Everything about the IST, as we call it here in the sport, is just tacky and obnoxious and pointless. And
I think the numbers were higher for it last year. So you can keep saying pointless and keep making fun of Adam Silver. I think it did provide a boost for their ratings. So they did succeed from that standpoint. We don't care about it. We're rolling our eyes, but I think the numbers were up.
Yeah. Maybe I'd change if I got a banner that I could hang up like the Lakers.
Right, or parade.
And I mean, goodness, like Klay just talking about it there, like, man, this sucks because it really hampers us, presume the Cup.
They need to just make it tied to like a postseason berth somehow. And not like a stupid fake trophy. And baseball would be better off doing the same type of like in-season thing, but it matters for a postseason berth somehow, some way.
Yeah.
You can't reward someone a playoff berth 10 games in with winning that, but right. Something more meaningful than the stupid fake banners.
Maybe whatever team wins it takes an automatic 1-0 series lead in.
Yeah.
In so every one of their playoff runs or whatever.
That's like what the.
What if they don't make the playoffs?
Well, that's a point.
Yeah, I mean, you could have it, could you have it toward the close of the season and you just make it something where it's like, okay, if you're already one of the playoff teams, if you're already, then you pick up the number one seed or something.
But they want the tune in early for people like us who are looking at no Ja, no Zion, right. No Embiid, no Holmgren. And I'm missing someone else for all these injuries.
No, Luka, really.
Middleton.
I'll tell you what I hate is...
Is Middleton hurt again?
I think I saw that yesterday or the day before.
Adam Silver approaching it with the idea of like... Because he said it specifically what he wants with it. He wants it to be more like the European soccer leagues. Like that's it. He wants that sort of same energy behind it. Like the U.S. has rejected that style of play, that sport in general... Here in the United States for decades. They even did it here with the soccer league here in the United States. And remember, you were all confused after Messi. It's like, wait, so Messi's season isn't over? This is the IST or the NBA Cup he's basically played. I don't know why Silver is so intent on forcing like, oh, let's force European league style play. Let's try and replicate that here. Well, they've shown you they've rejected that style of play
for
decades. Well, that
has more to do with the sport. Still.
Yes, that too. But just the fact of like we were confused by the MLS doing whatever cup they were
right.
in that year.
The soccer is they're accustomed to that. They do it. Their season is basically they play all year except like this time of year. Basically, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, and like that's it. That's the only time they're off.
What about 817 says winner gets the number one pick in the draft?
Ooh.
I mean, that's...
I'd like it.
Yes.
Well, then... But the only problem there is you're not helping your San Antonio's. You're not helping your Orlando's. Right. You don't have Banchero. You don't have Wemby.
Are they pumped that San Antonio and Minnesota have Anthony Edwards and Wembanyama right now?
Well, not...
I mean...
Wemby's coming.
They did fine with LeBron in Cleveland.
They yeah, I mean, the Golden State Warriors were nothing.
They were nothing.
No one cared about them.
But it's a big market.
It is a big market. But, like, you know, Miami was never anything special. From I mean, they're a good market, but, you know, baseball considers them a small market.
So the Mavericks lose the return to Golden State with Klay Thompson getting all the emotions out of the way. 877-881-1053. Thank you for being a total. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. Our best audience of the entire show is right here in the 6 a.m. Club. We want you to win our free ticket giveaway. We got the college football kegger with the new rankings coming out at 640. We'll chop it up at 840. Below the belt and Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com. But why all the talk about Deion Sanders taking over the Dallas Cowboys? Inside the Star is next.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
College football playoff rankings, the latest edition coming up at 640 in RJ's College Football Kegger, a Tolo Ticket giveaway during the 720 Commercial Free Expressway. And, of course, tomorrow at 8 o'clock, Peyton has booked Rhett Lashley, head coach of the SMU Mustangs. We'll have Babe Laufenberg on the program tomorrow as well. But as we go inside the Star here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby, why and where are these Deion Sanders rumors coming from? Yesterday, all over television. Is it just opinion? Are people starting to hear whispers? This was Stephen A. Smith, who just a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, said Bill Belichick's the answer. I think someone over at First Take forgot to remind Stephen A. that was his take, and that's what he said. Go and get Bill Belichick. Stephen A. now has a different answer.
I believe that the Dallas Cowboys should tank the rest of the season, get the number one overall pick, so you can draft Shedeur Sanders, and by the way, hire primetime Deion Sanders as your head coach for the Dallas Cowboys. I think that should be Jerry Jones's master plan. That's right, I said it. Hire primetime Deion Sanders. You got to tank the season to make sure you can get his son as your quarterback, okay? And you move forward that way.
Well, you don't have to tank. They suck. And Bobby, you look thrown off.
It's called First Take because it's just their first take. They're yeah. Going to have several after
that. They haven't figured out take number two, three,
yeah,
four yet.
Yeah, they'll have other takes after that and adjust it as needed. yeah, this is stupid. Like, and he knows it's stupid. That's why he said, "That's right, I said it." Because he's sitting there thinking like, "Ooh, I'm going to say this," and people at home, they're going to say, "Did Stephen A. just say that?" And then I'm going to say, "That's right, I said it." Shedeur Sanders in primetime. Oh my goodness, it's going to be, what a couple. There's so many other players that, like you mentioned, you don't have to tank. They're bad. They are right now with the quarterback situation they have and the health they have. They are probably one of the three worst teams in football. They're that bad.
I was on NBC5.
Well,
and I was trying to come up with the bottom three, and I kind of forgot New England. Also, Giants, Panthers, us, and then I was like, oh, yeah, there's the Patriots as well. So I'm going to be a bottom four.
I'm like Steve Young. I think the Giants are better than you right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, with Dak not there, then
yeah,
yes.
Given your quarterback situation right now due to injury, you are one of the three worst. Look, absolutely. There's if you talk about, they have these graphs for EPA per play on offense and defense, and they have these little charts that you can look at the X and Y axis, and Dallas is right in the very back corner away from the rest of the NFL with Carolina as the worst team in the NFL in that. And so, look, I think that there's plenty of players they could take at the top of the draft. Shedeur Sanders would be the last name I would think they would take at the top of the draft, and I don't think they would ever consider hiring Deion.
All right, RJ Choppy, humor me for a second. Let's just get rid of the Shedeur part. Dak Prescott just got 240. It's a $90 million cap hit. Let me argue the opposite way. Could you draft Shedeur and next year just say, we're going to take the $90 million hit? We'll let him transition. It'll be the first year of Troy Aikman. Even if we win one game, two games, you deal Dak. Is that just suck next year with the cap hit or not be able to add to your football team? I'm just devil's advocate, and the whole cap hit thing is gone. Dealing him, another team paying him that salary, would that now be out the window?
His cap, if you traded him, it would be, I think, $150 million cap hit. Is that what that would be?
Oh, I thought it was 90.
That's his regular cap hit.
What would it be? His fifth year?
You would get all of his guarantees coming to you.
If you trade him, it costs you, you lose $100 million on your cap. If you cut him, this is pre-June 1, obviously. If you cut him, it's $151 million. It's not financial. I mean, that's over half the salary cap. That, like, it's basically saying, hey, operate on a salary cap that was lower than the year after COVID.
But $90 million if you trade him.
It's $100 million if you trade him.
Okay.
Yeah. $100 million in the red. Means if the salary cap is $265, they would be operating on a salary cap of $165. And if they cut him, it'd be $110.
Now, theoretically, you could have $35 million with CD. So now you're at $135 million of the $265. And then, you know, you don't necessarily have to sign Micah. He would cost you $21 million, so now you're at $156 million. So you've got $110 million or so left over for 51 players. Theoretically, you could do it. Yeah, you could do that.
They need a Bobby Marks of the NFL for stuff like this. Bobby Marks is there for the NBA, hops on the GBN Nation. They need someone to come and be like, all right, financially, how would this work? I don't know why they don't have it for the NFL, probably because it would erase a lot of their takes. But did you say you would think it would be more like, if one of the two had to happen, more likely that they drafted Shedeur than hired Deion?
Pre Dak contract,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they think Shador's a bad player. I think they think, yeah, he's somebody who could be in the conversation. But there's plenty of options at the top of the draft. Brian Broaddus said he spent the last 2 days, this Sunday game, sent him to it. He said he's now seven players deep in the NFL draft study already. So
is that Mike McCarthy reviewing the Texans?
Right? He is. Well, look, I mean, Mike got sent. Only do six plays. Brian did seven players. And so figure that out, I guess, in terms of how that's possible. But no, there's plenty of options up at the top of the draft of really good players that you could look at. Brian said he'd play Travis Hunter at receiver after watching him. He thinks that he'd make a difference there. But there's lots of different types of players that you could investigate that I just don't think Shedeur would be up there. The bigger thing to me is I don't believe they would ever want the aura of prime here right now.
Rex Ryan threw some gas on the fire.
Deion Sanders may be in play here, and I'm going to tell you, they need something. They need to have somebody that has the pride in that damn organization. Being a Dallas Cowboy, the pride you take in it. And by the way, Deion, everywhere he's been, has been kicking you know what.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jackson State, they were unbelievable when he was there. He takes Colorado. Right now they're 7-2. Nobody saw that coming. They're playing in the big, you know, whatever the damn conference.
Big 12,
now.
Yeah.
Big 12. Like, I'm just saying, that because I already know Mike McCarthy's a good football coach, and he's going to be out the door. There's no doubt about it. That whole the whole thing's going to be blown up. But watch what happens. They need that. How are you going to get this kid back on board? He's going to have to damn respect that guy that comes in that building. You're not going to respect Deion Sanders? He's twice the player you are. All right? And you know what? I coach Deion Sanders. Great teammate.
And he's taking a shot at Micah right there. So, in terms of Deion, number one, Deion has said he doesn't want to coach in the pros. And I don't think Deion Sanders' style is going to work as much in the NFL. Like Nick Saban. Nick Saban can't sit there and, you know, be a tyrant and boss around professional athletes. I don't think it would work as much. I think Deion's perfect for college in terms of having the spotlight and being the loudest one and the most important person. But I did do a lot of thinking about how Deion would work with Jerry. And I know Bobby and RJ, both y'all felt yesterday Jerry wouldn't do it because Deion would be too bright of a star, which is just a depressing and maddening reason to think that someone would not be hired.
I totally agree.
I counter back with, well, what about Bill Belichick being the main man around here? But Bill obviously would not be as loud as Deion. But put that to the side for a second. I do think, like, personality-wise and dealing with the team and saying you're not going to the owner, I do think that, like, Deion Sanders would be a personality that would work with Jerry and all the noise around here that people are not used to. So you got football fit. I don't think he could, you know, I don't think he would want to deal with professional athletes who just don't listen to him blindly. Jerry fit, I think it works. Shador fit, obviously does not work because of the Dak deal and whatever you think, some think, Bobby, about Shador as a player. So there's three different things. Shador, Jerry, and coaching pro guys.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, Deion could absolutely handle the noise. He would not, I don't think. Now, I will say this.
It'd actually be perfect.
He would, because we've seen him push back on critical media.
Oh, yeah.
So that.
Yeah.
And look, we're not, this isn't New York or Philly, but I mean, it's much more critical than Boulder, Colorado.
Yep.
So how many, I mean, Bobby would get kicked out of the press conferences. Like, he just would.
Not even think?
I mean, I think.
Does Bobby ask questions in the press conferences?
Well, no, but on Fridays he does.
Not and in like 5 years.
And he would.
I never heard one.
Yeah.
I just said not in 5 years. I haven't.
Oh, not in 5 years. I thought you said you have in 5 years.
But the point is, he would pinpoint him. You're out. Even if you're not even asked a question, you're out.
Yeah.
So I do think there would be that. He would have to get over that factor. But, I mean, he could absolutely handle the distractions, or so to speak, because
yeah, but he is sensitive. You're right.
He's a little sensitive. Yeah. You know,
I guess you could make the argument he'd handle it worse than like Mike McCarthy, because Deion would respond to a lot.
He would respond to a lot more. He would listen to a lot more. He would absolutely hear the noise.
Yes,
but I think he's comfortable in a circus.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, I think he's comfortable in because,
and I don't think he wouldn't roll his eyes at Jerry as much for the undermining and all that stuff.
No. Yeah, I think so. Here's the only thing is that are you hiring Deion because Deion is the best possible coach for the Cowboys? The answer is probably not. So we're operating under the assumption that it's about flash and splash hire. So that's where I then come at it from the angle of, all right, well, is it too splashy for Jerry at that point? Because it takes away. If we're operating under the assumption the whole reason he's being hired is for something outside of football reasons, well, the outside of football reasons might outshine Jerry, and that's why I don't think he'd make the move. But I don't.
And would Deion not coach a pro team unless he had Shador? That's another thing.
Or
because I think Deion's 5-year deal is up right now. No, it hasn't been.
No,
five,
this is year two. Right?
It just feels like 5 years.
Was it a 5-year deal?
Yeah, but it feels like five with him. No, I think he would. I think he'd go somewhere with Travis Hunter. It doesn't have to be Shador necessarily. It could be Travis Hunter.
He views Travis as a child, as a son of his. I mean, he's become a father figure for him
more than Shiloh.
Yes. Stop.
What was the Quincy Avery tweet about Deion Sanders Jr.? He's like, boy, what a shame. He gets treated like less of a son because he can't backpedal.
Hey. So that's all the Deion noise. I think these networks are getting desperate for the topics and the angles because the Cowboys stink and are about to be even more irrelevant with all the losing.
Rex Ryan didn't know if he was actually in the mix for a job, so I don't think he's going to be taken seriously when he says Deion's in the
Rex
mix for a job.
Rex doesn't know what conference Colorado's in either.
Yeah, exactly.
What, are they in the whack?
Yeah. So there's all the Deion Sanders noise on the networks over the past 48 hours. It's Sean Treif, RJ Choppy. And by the way, are the Tolos signing up for this? Is this the type of splash topic that people fall for? Shador and Deion? What are you seeing on the fan text?
We got 214 needs someone like Dan Campbell, but the 817 agrees. The 469 says, you know, the player-to-coach relationship might not fit as well, like y'all were saying earlier.
The latest edition of the college football playoff rankings, RJ Choppy with a hump day. College football kegger next on The Fan.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
What is the point of having a committee if they don't actually watch the games? And that is what we saw last night as the playoff selection committee gave us their latest rankings, making absolutely no sense of anything that we've seen so far to date. The first thing that was the most notable was Georgia dropping to 12, being the first team out. Georgia's the first team out, despite having, what, the second or third best win in the entire sport the entire year with their win over Texas. The biggest snub of the entire night remains to be, to
what,
me.
What did they drop to?
12, but they're out because Boise is in. You got to have a team in.
Oh.
Right? So they are technically the first team out. The biggest snub is the SMU Mustangs. I am going to give you their number 14.
Rhett Lashley tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
Blind resume time, children.
Okay.
Team A is 8-1. Did you see this already?
No.
Team A is 8-1. Number 14 in strength of record. Their best win came over the Advanced Metrics number 20 team. Their loss came to a top 10 team by 3 points. And they have 4 wins against Power 4 teams with a winning record, all by an average of 14 points.
Okay.
Team B also has an 8-1 record with the 11th strength of record. Their best win came over the number 28 team. Their loss came to a top 15 team by 15 points. And they have 1 win over a Power 4 team with a winning record.
All right. Team 2 is eliminated.
Team A is SMU. Team 2 is Texas.
I knew that was coming.
Now, I think Texas is where they absolutely belong to be. But
if you run down the schedule, let's not pretend like the SMU schedule looks that much more impressive in terms of what they've put out there than what Texas did.
It does not.
And that's why it's very convenient to say they had it over this. And right. If you look at the schedule, nobody would say, oh, what a juggernaut lineup SMU's beating.
Like, yeah, I know. Like the Wake Forest, you know, whatever. But the point is that, you know, the committee is, they did a good job with the Texas because Texas absolutely deserves to be there. But
you don't disagree with the committee.
Well, I disagree with the committee in some situations. Indiana.
But not Texas SMU.
Well, Texas belongs where they are.
So
I don't disagree with them because they are a good roster, a very good team. Their schedule has just broken down where they really haven't had to play anybody that's great. But the committee has shown that they're not caring about that this year because they put Indiana, they jumped Indiana from 9 to 5. And all Indiana did was struggle with a bad Michigan team. And Penn State has no good wins, literally none. Their best win came over a sub 500 team.
Yeah, I was surprised to see Penn State at 4.
Yes, they don't belong there. I don't know why Penn State is at number 4. The SEC.
Maybe because they've covered up 4 sexual assaults.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
The only SEC 4? Did get a little bit, for the first time ever, the SEC got kind of hosed. Of the top 17. What's that?
I said, that's right. Let's break this cult, baby.
9 of the top 17 teams in the advanced metrics come from the SEC. Where number 1, 2, 4, 5, and 9 in ESPN's FPI all sit. Yet, they only have 1 of the top 6. So they got a little bit hosed there. That will all work itself out, though. You don't have to worry about this. Indiana right now would play Alabama. That's how the thing sets up. So here are your official rankings right now. I just lost it. Dang it. I just had it.
I got him. Oregon, Ohio State, Texas 3, Penn State 4, Indiana 5, BYU 6, the Tennessee Volunteers 7, Notre Dame 8, Miami 9, Bama 10, Ole Miss 11, Georgia 12, SMU is 14 with, as you said, Boise State 13, and the Texas A&M Aggies are 15. I got to say.
Colorado 17.
Colorado 17.
And they're still on the, they got a chance.
I got to say, in just looking at all these teams right now, if you were a, not a diehard college football fan, you would look at this and look at two different things, I think. Number one, this kind of looks weird with some, you know, unusuals here. Indiana, BYU, Miami, what happened to them? I thought they were irrelevant. And then you have Bama at 10. But the other thing, if you are paying attention to this sport a lot, this feels like a real lack of powerhouse teams. This feels wide open to me.
Oh, yes.
You got Oregon.
There's no guarantee.
You got Ohio State. Even Texas at 3. Like, Texas doesn't feel mighty anymore. We just talked about Penn State. Everyone's going to ask, is Indiana really legit? BYU? Huh? Notre Dame? Getting ready to write them off earlier in the year. Did Miami just get exposed against a real opponent? Bama's not Bama. You know, Ole Miss. Georgia down here at 12. SMU.
Very NFL.
It's
NFL.
It feels very, very wide open and a lack of great teams.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, but let's be fair. College football has really sucked for the last, like, 10 years.
Mm.
Right? I mean, none of the Final Four.
Not right. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, the Final Four games were decided by an average of 17 points. None of the Final Four games were very competitive. You had, like, two that you could think of that were actually competitive.
That's not what I think of when I think of the quality of college football. I'm thinking, like, are there great teams?
Well, and there were, but it became very regionalized. It was Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, and then you had that little northern team called Ohio State. You know, like the little tough Ohio State team that would win a title every couple of years, right? So that's what it was, though. And this broke that up. And the NIL broke that up because now it has become, yeah, you're right, there's not that powerhouse top dog team, but it's very like the NFL. There's a lot of parity. Anybody could beat anybody on any game.
But that's not what we were saying when this tournament was expanded. We were saying these games are going to suck as well,
right?
Because no one's going to have a chance of pulling off upsets.
Right.
These 9, 10, 11, 12s are not going to have a real chance.
Absolutely.
Because the 3 and 4 seeds really didn't have a chance when it was the Final Four.
And we were dead wrong, it seems, on that because, there, like you said, there is no powerhouse team. And that's
well,
the
we're
new
not dead wrong yet. Like, we got to see a tournament play out.
We got to
see
one, two, three
tournaments play out to see how many lower seeds actually win.
Absolutely. Totally agree. But, you know, at least from what we've seen in the first, what are we, week 10, week 9 this year, at least what you could see is there is no dominant team because the talent pool has been spread out. And you are getting the transfer portal. I mean, you're getting a team like BYU or a team like SMU that isn't normally there.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, or Indiana. I mean, Indiana's got 7 new coaches. They have 13 new players. That's not Indiana's team. That's James Madison's team that just decided to go over to Indiana and they combined teams together.
Indiana's got that game here in, what is it, 10 days now?
Yeah.
Ohio State and Indiana. That's going to be massive in terms of determining
Indiana,
how Indiana's viewed, but I mean also how Ohio State's viewed, because Ohio State right now would be the only losses would be Oregon and then Indiana. But you should be scared, Chop, because you got Tennessee right now, and what these rankings say to me is if Georgia beats Tennessee, Tennessee is out of the top.
Georgia's won 7 straight against the Vols. All 7 have been by at least 14 points.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the matchups have not been there. Georgia's a 10-point favorite. Georgia's a 10-point favorite in this game.
I'm kind of a Bobby. I'm kind of liking the Vols with the points.
You like Tennessee on the points?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
He said it yesterday.
Touch it. Yeah, now that would be an interesting one because you would have Georgia. If Georgia wins, they would have lost to Bama but beat Tennessee. Tennessee would have beat Bama but lost to Georgia. How do you
put the transitive properties?
Right. How do you put the three? How do all three make it? I find it very hard to believe they're going to leave a 2-loss SEC team out.
I mean, Georgia's out right now, though.
But they're out right now.
Yeah, so
they're
if Georgia right beats Tennessee, then Tennessee is now the two-loss team that was beaten by the team that was on the right. outside.
So now I don't know. Yeah, and that makes sense.
You
but,
said three or four things in this segment, and you go flip-flop, back and forth.
But, it does, so the, keep track. But it's still, I don't believe they're going to wind up keeping a two-loss SEC team out of it. I just don't see it happening. Especially because Indiana, I do think, is good. Indiana right now would play Alabama in round one. That's the way it would shake out.
How many two-loss SEC teams would there be, though? Five at that point?
Well, I'm assuming A&M's good. Well, it would lose to Texas. If A&M beats Texas, now you've got you want to talk about mass hysteria? You'd have two-loss Georgia, two-loss Bama, two-loss Tennessee, two-loss Texas, two-loss A&M. And I think, isn't Missouri have two losses or they have three? Oh, two-loss Ole Miss?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have six teams.
CFP rankings out last night. College Football Kegger here on the Fan.
So that is the rankings as they sit right now. And, of course, they come out every single week. And Ohio State and Indiana is, like Bobby said, 10 days from now. And this is another massive mistake from college football. They put this game on at 11 a.m. I mean, just what you want to do. I mean, I haven't even taken my morning poop on a Saturday by 11 a.m.
Do you think they were looking at it, though, at the beginning of the year and going, like, that's a game we're going to need to have for the whole country to see?
But the college football does their game times 10 days to 2 weeks in advance. So they don't do it at the beginning of the year unless it's like a Thursday game.
Did you hear McAfee call out Fox? McAfee's doing things that are so un-ESPN. They're not like the craziest things in the world, but it's crazy for ESPN. And everyone else on that set, which is, you know, down the Disney line, is like, oh my gosh, is this really happening? They had the 11 o'clock kickoff and Fox was there as well. And I think Fox was the one responsible for it. Where was this? Where was this taking place? The previous time you complained about 11 a.m. kickoff. It was like 2 weeks ago.
It was
Penn State, Ohio State, right?
Was it Penn State,
yeah,
Ohio State?
I think so.
Listen to what McAfee did.
This game is not at night. This is a big noon kickoff. Kind of a mixed reaction. I don't think there's any people at their set. That's on them, not on us. All I know is after today, that football team, these fans are going to be proud to say, we are! We are! We are! Thank you.
Thank you. So he said, that's on them, not on us, because Fox controls the Big Ten. Big Ten kickoff.
Big noon, Big Ten.
Noon. Yeah.
They want to control. They think they found a market, an opening that was underutilized, which is the 11 a.m. There's never big games there, but the nighttime games are going to draw more. I mean, do they want to avoid?
And because Penn State fans were furious they did not get that game at night.
Absolutely.
LSU, every game's at night.
Yeah.
Every
game.
Jared Sandler was just there.
Yes, he was. Lane Kiffin complained. He said, we've only had two night games. We're getting Georgia the other day. They still wound up winning the game. But, I mean, you want to talk about a raucous environment. Penn State's got a great atmosphere. Those stupid whiteouts or whatever they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you would want that game at night, not during the day.
Imagine the amount of sexual assaults there after people were drinking all day. And then at midnight, you're getting out of the stadium that James Franklin and everyone could have a freaking attitude about. College Football Kegger Part 1 here. Hump Day edition of Sean and RJ on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Clay returns to Cali. But what is wrong with Luca? And no, Michael Strahan. Why did you just apologize? Next on 105.3 The Fan.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.